We'll read from verse 1 to 17. Acts chapter 2, from verse 1, sorry, to 21. 1 to 21. Should we read together, or does anybody want to come out and read? Because 21 is such a long verse for us to read together. Who wants to? Allah, come on then. You can use your Bible if you want. It's up to you.
Verse 1, right? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, how do you pronounce that?
Phrygia, and
and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome. Both Jews and converts to Judaism, Greatans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Quick, brother. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. You can sit down there and keep the microphone. I might still need you.
Okay.
Praise God. On the day of Pentecost, I don't know the image that we have in our mind when we read the scriptures. For me, on Friday, as I was going through this for prayer, our prayer meeting, thinking of what to share with our prayer meeting, I was going through this in the church office. I went through it again, and the Lord started to speak to me, major on some specific things. Because in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem. He said, don't go anywhere. Wait until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And these ones were waiting in Jerusalem in the upper room. And as they waited, I like the description in verse, I think it's in verse 2. It said, when suddenly. Let's try to imagine that. These guys, this was 50 days after Jesus' after Easter resurrection, 50 days after Easter. And they've been through these 50 days, some of them they met with Jesus and he revealed himself. Doubting Thomas came and touched. We call him Doubting Thomas. Many of us would be doubting if we were there too. And they came, he revealed himself, he ate with them, they touched his wound, the scar, and they realized that he's actually risen. And by this time they were gone. And when he was ascending, he told them to wait in Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God fills their heart, fills their lives. And so when he left, and if you go through chapter 1 from some of those verses, the Bible says that after they came back to the place where they gathered, where they met. Peter, the Bible gave the names of all of them, the 12 apostles and some others that were there. They gathered there. The Bible said they were meeting in prayer and in studying of the word, in preparing themselves in the air of expectancy of the promise. Jesus told them that the Father will baptize them. He didn't quite use the word until they are filled, empowered by the Holy Spirit, he said. And the book of Joel, it talks about the God, pouring out his Spirit on all flesh, that the boys and girls will prophesy, the old young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams. Then he says, upon the maid servants, the men and the women servants, God will pour out his Spirit and they will prophesy. So these are known in the scripture. And so I'm sure they would have been reminding themselves of these scriptural promises. And then Jesus emphasizing it. So they were now waiting. We are not quite sure how long they were waiting there. Every day they woke up, they studied the word, they prayed, they shared food together. They were waiting. Every day they got up, they were doing the same thing. Some of them would go out there and buy things and to bring to them to eat. They would sneak out because they were afraid. Because at this time, they were afraid of those who killed Jesus. And now they are coming out to say, this Jesus that they killed is alive. And so the position of some of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and those top people were at stake, because if we say this Jesus is alive, it means they killed the Lord, the Messiah. That's the message that will come across, that they killed the Messiah that everyone has been waiting for. And so these people are claiming to say that Jesus is alive. And so they were after them, so they were hiding. They were not just there praying, but they were also afraid to go out. If they went out, they had to pick to make sure it was safe to go out before they went out. So they wake up every day, go through the everyday routine and pray. And so on this particular day, when they woke up, they were not sure it was going to be different from all the other previous days. But the Bible says they were gathered. Let's read that scripture, verse 1 of 2, chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered in one place. Some scriptures put it in one accord. In other words, they were gathered with a purpose. They were gathered with one single purpose. The purpose was to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. So maybe Peter got up one day and said, Elo, you are leading the morning devotion this morning. And Elo would have prepared and shared. And then he would say, okay, somebody else lead worship and somebody else do that. So but the Bible said, suddenly, they were doing what they've been used to doing. They were doing things as they know what to do, as they know how to do it. But suddenly, something happened. What happened? Many of us will say the Holy Spirit came. Yes, but when Jesus made that promise, did they know what form the Holy Spirit was going to come? Nobody knew. And suddenly it was, can you help me with the sound effect, please? Increase the volume of the microphone. Come on. Give me higher volume. Quickly, 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 quickly. Give me higher volume. Come on. Imagine. Turn it down, please. Sorry for that loud sound if you were listening. Imagine if you were the one there, one of the 120, praying or studying or doing whatever you're doing. All of a sudden, there was this sound. The Bible says it was a sound like the rushing of the mighty wind. The first thing you would think, maybe there is a tornado or something like that. You rush out to see the noises from outside, but there's no noise outside. The noise was in the house. So once they've ascertained that the noise was in the house, they were thinking, where is it coming from? What is this? You think they knew it was the Holy Spirit? I don't think so. Because nothing in the Bible says that he will come like the sound of a violent wind. The Bible says, some scripture put it as a violent tempest. When you are in a tempest, what do? You panic. When you are in a tempest, you are afraid. When you are in a tempest, you are thinking, what's going to happen next? By the way, the title of my sermon is A Sound from Heaven. A Sound from Heaven. And this sound came from heaven. They were not sure where it's come from. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, has now said a sound from heaven, because looking back, you can tell. But for them, they weren't sure. Is this demonic? Is it the enemy? So they were not sure. They were in shock and they were perplexed and they were afraid. And the Bible said the sound filled the whole house. Not just the upper room, but it filled the whole house. They would have checked to different rooms and said, well, the sound is here too. What about the bathroom? The sound is there too. You know, where do you use the sound? They're checking everywhere. They're saying the sound is there. And they are all worried. And they are all troubled. And there is fear. And they are saying, what is this? What does this mean? And they noticed there was fire. What looked like fire, a tongue like fire, resting on Peter's head. They're saying, Peter, there is this something that looked like tongue of fire on your head. Peter is saying, it's on yours too. And you say, really? And they are looking, every single one, it rested on every single individual. And they are looking, what's this? And then they found themselves, after all this worry, and they felt something inside. It's like a river, rushing river, flowing deep down that they cannot explain. And suddenly they open their mouth and they are speaking unknown words. James probably, John probably saying to James, I can't understand what you are saying. He's trying to say, I can't, and James saying, I can't understand you either, but they're trying to say, but they're saying it in languages that none of them could understand. So there is chaos now. They say, what's this? This is crazy. This doesn't make sense. But they can't, every time they open their mouth to speak, they are saying something in a different language that doesn't make any sense to them. And then there were people outside who heard the sound from that house. And they came. When they came, they heard these people babbling away in their own individual tongues. What sounded foolish to those who were speaking it made sense to those who were hearing it. See, when you think when they opened their mouth to speak it, they were speaking it to any particular person. No, they were releasing it in the air. They were just speaking it out. They were just declaring it. It did not make sense. They could not hold back as they were releasing it. But the Holy Spirit, who had a word for everyone, made sure that everyone that needed to hear the word from God that day came and received words that were specific to each one of them in the way that each one of them will understand. But there's people who were saying it did not know what they were saying. They did not know for whom it was meant for. But the Holy Spirit who released it knew how to direct it from the mouth of Peter to the mouth of somebody, let's say a Greek person that was there. From the mouth of Matthew to another person. As it came out of their mouth, it was directed to the right place. See, this is the goodness of God. This is the thing with God. So when God causes you to do something, even when it doesn't make sense to you, the truth is if you declare it and release it out, the Spirit of God that put it in you will make sure it gets to the original recipient. One who it was designed for will receive it. So if you see the word of prophetic here, the Bible says, and they started to speak, and Peter was now explaining that the Bible had promised that all will prophesy. See, prophetic is of twofold. There is the foretelling, the one where you declare the future before it happened. But there is also the foretelling, the one where you decree things, you release it, and the power of God accomplish it to make it happen. So every one of us, we are called to prophesy as believers. So when you start to speak, because everybody prophesies, but it, what are we prophesying? What are we declaring? What are we releasing? Because you will have what you declare. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit came because he promised it. Because God promised it, the Holy Spirit came. Let's look at some of the things here. Some of the points I put here once. The Bible says that Holy Spirit came to a specific house. What did it say? The house where they were. Come on, finish it with me. The house where they were dwelling. The house where they gathered. The Holy Spirit did not go to any other house apart from the house where they gathered. His presence was meant for a specific house. The truth is, it's not because of the size of the house or the nature of the house or the beauty of the house. If they were gathered in another house, the Holy Spirit would have gone to that house. What attracted the Holy Spirit to that house? It was the gathering of expectant people. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? It was the people who were prepared, who were expectant, who were ready, who were waiting for the promise. It was the people that attracted the Holy Spirit to that particular house. And the Bible said that the Spirit of God, the sound, filled the whole house. But the tongue rested on individuals. The people who presented themselves, let's look at it. They were present, number one. Number two, they were expectant, waiting for the promised Holy Spirit. Number three, they were in one place. They were not scattered all over the place. They were in one place with a united purpose. In obedience to the promise. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Spirit came to a gathered, expectant people. The Holy Spirit came to a people who made themselves physically present. The Holy Spirit came to a people who were united in one purpose, expecting. The Holy Spirit came to a people who were obedient to the command. The Bible said Jesus commanded them in Acts 1 verse 4. It said he gave them the command to go and wait in Jerusalem. Those who heeded the command were the first to receive the Holy Spirit. You see, sometimes we think if God wants to do anything, he can do anything. But the truth is, we have a part to play in God doing whatever he wants to do. God gave a promise. And anyone who was willing and ready would have received the Holy Spirit that day. But only those who gathered together. Only those who were there. I'm sure there were many other believers outside. But only those who were there were filled. In Acts chapter 2 verse 4 to 5, On one occasion while he was eating with them, the Bible says, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, which my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he gave them this command. But only a few heeded the command. And those few were filled. The first to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, and again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything and they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in their midst. When you have a gathered people who are expecting, who ask together, they were crying out, send the promised Holy Spirit. They cried out for many weeks and many days. But on that particular day, they were not sure what was going to happen. But suddenly, are you waiting for a suddenly moment in your life? You have been praying. Sometimes you say, we'll be praying, we'll be gathering. But suddenly, somebody say suddenly. I don't know how many weeks, how many years you have been waiting. I don't know what you've been waiting for. I don't know if like them, every morning you wake up, you say, could this be the day? And then you come out and you pray and you press in and you push in and you do the best you can. But you feel some tingling within you. But you say, could it be what the promise? And then the day fades away, it's not. And then you are encourages each other. Then maybe you hear Titus or one of them who's saying, Thomas will say, look, I'm tired of this. We've been doing it for 2, 3, 4 days now. And then somebody else will come along and say, me too. And you hear the other one say, you know, Jesus promised. Every time God promised, he doesn't fail. He said he will rise again, he rose again. So come on, don't be discouraged, friends. Let's go for it. And you see the heads that are bowed start to rise up, and some will manage to drag themselves there and try to see what will happen. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day, until suddenly. I just speak your suddenly moment today in Jesus' name. That God will come into your life suddenly. God will come into your situation suddenly. That the Holy Spirit will break into your life suddenly. The Holy Spirit will break into your family situation suddenly, into your marriage suddenly, into your place of work suddenly, into every aspect of your life suddenly. And that which you've dragged yourself and you think, should I do? Should I continue to serve God? Should I continue to come to church? Should I continue to serve in this way or that way? But that day you just managed to drag yourself there, you will experience the suddenly moment of God in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. And suddenly, the wind filled the whole house. Tongue rested on them. Started to speak. May the Lord give you the grace to always be present when you need to. May the Lord give you the strength. Because in the church, my friends, the thing is, many of us don't know that the Sunday service, like we gather, It's a holy gathering. It's a special gathering of God's people. Jesus was saying, every time people gather in my name, I will be there. When you come to church, when the Sunday comes, sometimes you think, should I go or should I not? So how many of you look at it like they were prepared? They were expectant. They were ready. Every day they rose up, it didn't happen, but they did not discourage them. They kept coming. They kept getting ready because the promise was given. They were ready to receive it. They were not going to miss it because they had received the promise. There is a conviction because that the God that made the promise cannot lie. And so they kept coming. Has the Sunday service become ordinary to you? Or do you see it as an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to be poured out afresh? time to experience the suddenly moment of God. Do you come expecting? Do you come expecting? Do you really come expecting? You see, I've written it down here. I said those who came were present at the risk of their lives. But they came all the same. It was safer to stay away in their own houses and not gather together, but they wanted to be present with a purpose in one place, in unity, expecting the promised Holy Spirit in obedience to the voice of their Lord. They came. It would have been safer to be at home. They came. It would have been easier to rest. They came. It would have been easier. You know, we all, you're here today, but you all had reasons why you couldn't come. But you came. Every time you present yourself in God's house, you are giving yourself opportunity to encounter God in a new way. I'm praying that every time you come to church, that the Spirit of God will stir in your heart an expectancy, something that gets you ready to say, God, I want to meet with you today. I want to encounter you. Lord, pour out your Spirit afresh upon me. But the other thing you have to see, with the disciples, when the Spirit of God came, it filled the house. The first blessing was for those outside. Did you notice? None of them in the house received word of prophecy. The tongues that was given was not for anyone who was present in the house, who was seeking God. It was for those who had the sound and came. Did you get that? So when we present ourselves in God's house, what we are doing is we are positioning ourselves to be a blessing to somebody. So if it's not for yourself, come for somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? When you come to God and say, God, make me a blessing to somebody else today. By your Holy Spirit, make me a blessing. Those guys only spoke in, the words came and they spoke, it did not make sense to them. So if they were just made themselves available, and God, who makes all things possible, you pick those words, give it to the right person, and every single one of them who came heard the language, heard the word of God in their own local dialect, and it prepares their heart. So when they heard that, they were saying, what could this be? What is this? The Bible said they were perplexed. They were wondering. They were, because of that, their heart was open to what next. You understand what I'm saying? It made the gospel that Peter preached easier because these guys only spoke in tongues. They became vessels to bless others. Sometimes when you come to church, what the Holy Spirit wants to do, what the pastor wants to preach, will be easier if you can do your part. If you come praying, if you come expecting, if you come if you come wanting to be a blessing to somebody, if you are saying, Lord, make me a vessel today through which somebody can be blessed, through which the Spirit of God can come out and touch somebody else. And if you present yourself a vessel like they did, the Spirit of God will come afresh again. Something you will say or do we bless somebody else in a tremendous way, in the way that you cannot understand, because the Holy Spirit that stirred it in you will make it happen. Sometimes it might just be a simple hug stirred by the Spirit. When you just smile, this, you know, you're with your, the smile from end to end, and you give them a hug and say, God bless you, my sister or my brother. And you don't know what the person has been through that day, that week. And those single words you speak will mean so much to that person at that particular time, in the way that it would not have made more sense to her in any time. But that will happen. That happens only because you were around. You understand what I'm saying? Only because you were present. And so when I come every Sunday, when I come for prayer meeting, when I come for Bible study, it's not just, Lord, bless me, Lord, make me a blessing to somebody. Give me a word for somebody today. Put something in my pocket to give to somebody today. few weeks ago, somebody was telling me, he said, see, when we come to church, the church is a place to give. He said, he came to me and said, Pastor, I want to give you this thing to give to somebody in the church. He said, God has been speaking to me for the last few weeks about this. I've been saying, Lord, I don't have money. He said, but this time, I put the money in an envelope and I want to bless the person with it. He said, he gave it to me and walked away. And I gave the money to the person, and people were testifying about how they were praying that month for how to balance their accounts, how to pay for rent and all this. So what they were trusting God for, specific amount, but what this person gave was above that. She made herself, or he made himself, a blessing. He had God. It's preparation. They're coming to the Sunday service prepared to be a blessing. Some people come every Sunday. You know, they bring food to help us, but others bring things for some other people. Because why? They are listening to God to be a blessing. See, the Holy Spirit is not just for us to speak in tongues. It's to enable us to do the work of the ministry, to live this life as it's meant to live. And the way we can live that, if we are living in our humanity and living like this social gathering where we are social workers supporting each other, we'll get burnt out. We'll be discouraged. We'll be exhausted. Church will become a difficult place to come unless you feel good that day. Unless the people that you move with are there that day. But the truth is, if you are somebody that is open to say, God, Spirit of God, use me today, and you come to church, there are boundless opportunity for ministries. Endless. Can you see the opportunities? Or do you just come with head bows? Can you see the endless opportunities? Opportunities to share the gospel with people outside. Opportunity to encourage my brother, my sister. If I come to church and I see empty chairs and I know that there are people who are not there, do I see opportunities to make phone calls and to say, we haven't seen you for a few weeks? That's the stirring of the Holy Spirit. Or is it just to complain? See, when the Holy Spirit came, these guys started to move mightily. They moved in power. They moved in glory. Every time you choose, and it's every time you make a decision to say, Lord, make me a vessel to bless somebody. You know what God does? God releases the power for you to be an effective vessel for him. Because we are crying, Lord, send your power down. The power is not so that we can have a good time in church. The power is so that we can touch somebody's life with the power of the Holy Spirit. So if I'm not touching somebody's life, I will not experience the power. So when we pray, Lord, send your power, then also say, Lord, send me. It's got to work together that way. Lord, send me. The Holy Spirit came and they started to speak in tongues. I just want to round it off here. The second point I was going to make, the sound from heaven, the whole house was filled. I've touched that. All of them saw. The things about God is, he does things corporately. The power of God filled the house, but he also attends to individuals. With God, you don't get lost in large numbers. You don't. You know, I worked in housing in Slough those days, a few years ago. You know, we work with figures. We work with numbers. How many houses have you got? How many people do you have on a waiting list? How many people can you give houses to? How many disabled houses do you have? You know, how many single rooms? How many? You see, it's figures and numbers. As many people as you can drop down the list. See, we work with those, and people get, you forget about names. All you think is numbers. But God remember the names among the billions of numbers. Always. He remembered those individuals who were outside. Every single one of them had the word in their own language. every single one who were in the room had the tongue rest on them. God remembers you. Every person is important to God. God devotes time, effort, everything to one person. He blesses everybody, but he's also interested in one. You might not, sometimes we might not believe it, but God is interested in you. Not just all of us. He's interested in all of us. He's interested in you. See, if you see Jesus when he was praying, it was very few occasions when he used the word our Father. Most of the time it was my Father. See, until we know God as my Father, it's difficult to know him as our Father. It was those, he attended to every single one who were there, whereas he also poured that corporate anointing. When you come, even when we don't pray about your situation, we don't call it by name, God doesn't forget. Every time you come here, God does not just think of us as a church, he also thinks of you as an individual. He knows your challenges. He knows your problems. He knows those things weighing you down. He knows those things that make you cry. He knows what your struggle is. God knows the details of your problem, and he's dedicated to make it happen, to sort it out. But you just show up. Praise God. You might not know what to say. You might not know how to say it, but he knows what to do. Everyone received the Holy Spirit, and it's poured out. Simeon read, I think you read something in verse 21, when it says, all who cry out to him are saved. So there is God for everyone, and there is God for me. For everyone and for me. Today, I don't know how many of us be filled with the Holy Spirit. But the truth is the promise of God to all of us. And it enables us to live this Christian life to the highest that God designed it to be. That abundant life. The baptism, see, the Bible says that the Spirit of God filled them. He put him, the Spirit inside of us so that it will touch everything we do in life. Whether in church, outside church, at work, at home, every aspect of our lives is supposed to be influenced by the life of the Holy Spirit. There is no Christian life and secular life. It's all the same. How many of you could really identify, separate a point in Jesus' life where you say, this was a secular part of Jesus, and this was a spiritual part of Jesus? Everything was spiritual. Everything was a life unto the Father. And that's how he's made us. And the only way we can live that life is when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. He enables us. He gives us the ability and the power and the understanding to live this life. If you're here today and you've not really been baptized with the Holy Spirit, I want us to pray for you. But if you want to be filled afresh, just say, Lord, fill me afresh so that I can be of help to the kingdom, so that I'll be able to bless somebody else, so I'll be able to touch another life with the power of the Holy Spirit. I just want to pray for you.